Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Chatting with Lyndon Burns, aviation expert and MD of aviation consultancy Plane Talking. Lyndon, appreciate the time today. You have concerns around the ATNS, the Air Traffic and Navigation Services Agency. I suppose let's start there. What is the ATNS and what do they do? Where do they fit into aviation?
So ATNS is required, it's a state-owned entity and it's responsible for managing the airspace in which aircraft fly. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit like a roads agency. It's responsible for maintaining all of the aviation infrastructure that relates to the management of aircraft in the sky. So, you know, radar, air traffic control, as well as all of the procedures and all of the associated support infrastructure. So what's happened at the moment, it's a situation akin to the roads agency turning around and saying to us, you're not going to be allowed to drive on certain roads or use certain on-ramps and off-ramps because they're no longer available because the person who was meant to check that the speed limit signs and the intersection signs and any hazard signs are still accurate and appropriate. Well, this is what's happened with ATNS, is that in mid-July, they published what's called a NOTAM, a notice to airmen, which is a mandatory set of instructions saying that a number of procedures across the country are being withdrawn indefinitely because they've not been able to complete their review of them to make sure that they are still safe and accurate, and if not, that they've amended any that might need amending. So that's number one, top of the kind of shopping list. And that's exposed a number of shortcomings, mostly due to relating to the lack of resource in terms of skilled personnel. Mm-hmm. You know, the ATNS has a world-class college co-located at Artambo, and it produces a lot of very sought-after people in to become air traffic controllers. But the type of skills we're missing at the moment are people who are very highly sought over, and those are the airspace designers and the people who design these procedures. There are few and far between worldwide. There's fierce competition for them, and the ones that we did have all been lured away to greener pastures, and now there's a scramble to try and find some. And this only came to light when all of a sudden, over 300 of these procedures were suddenly withdrawn in mid-July. And it became clear that, these things are meant to be reviewed every 5 years. Each procedure is meant mm-hmm. to be reviewed on a rolling five-year basis. And ATNS put their hand up and said, actually, in some instances, we've not done these for up to 10 to 12 years. Why? Because they didn't have the people anymore and they hadn't really sort of raised their hand high enough and raised the red flags.
Is this a safety issue or is this more an economic? Which means, if I use your analogy of the roads, if SANRAL takes some roads out of commission, it just puts more traffic on the existing and squeezes us. Is it safety? Is it more just an economic?
So in this particular instance, it's not. It becomes a safety issue because you're now forcing aircraft and flights to... First of all, you're pushing flights to the point where you're taking on more fuel, which is fine, but you're operating to some airports where the procedure may not be available, and you've then got to hope that when you get there, the weather is clear enough that you can do a visual approach. Mm-hmm. If you can't, you can fly around in a holding pattern until you make a decision that if we stay here any longer, we won't have enough fuel to get back to divert to somewhere else or go back to where we came from. The problem now is the second issue, which is that at Artambo, where most flights originate or go to in this country, there are a shortage of air traffic controllers, and they've implemented a thing called flow control, where they impose greater intervals between flights in order not to overwhelm the controllers that are there. And that means you've got aircraft coming in that are now starting to use up that additional reserve contingency fuel. And this is never a good thing. You know, you don't ever want to be in a position where you're compromising, you know, the aircraft and fuel burn and things like that. I don't think at this stage, this is more of an, you know, it's an inconvenience. It's a huge cost impact on airlines and for any businesses and any people who are involved, yep. Because of the inconvenience. The airlines don't get any recourse. You have to pay ATNS when you fly in controlled airspace. And even if you're flying to somewhere and you get there and discover that, you know, you can't actually land because of the weather and because the procedure's been withdrawn, you still have to pay ATNS for that and for the for the diversion. And for the, you know, and they don't offer a discount or a refund or anything. You're just saddled with that bill, plus your additional fuel burn, plus the cost of having to look after all of those inconvenienced passengers.
Yeah.
So it's got a huge knock-on effect from an airline financial point of view, but it's got a much bigger effect economically when you think about not just the people who travel by air for business or for tourism or whatever, but for all of the services industries, whether you're in tourism, whether yeah. you happen to be a manufacturer of pharmaceuticals or any or in agriculture and you've got perishables that have a finite life and need to be in, you know, temperature controlled storage environment. You don't want to have these things standing around on an apron spoiling in the sun because you've missed a connecting flight.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, is that big airports like our Tambo advertise what's called a minimum connection time. That is so that, you know, when the big airlines come in with their A380s or A350s or 777s, whatever it is, a big wide body jet, they know that they've got enough time for those people and all the cargo and luggage to be moved off that, you know, unloaded from that one aircraft and to easily and efficiently be put onto any connecting flights.
Yeah.
And there might be 30 or 40 connecting flights involved. The moment you start compromising that connection, that minimum connection time, you then start running into problems with people missing the connections, the luggage not catching up with them, any, as I said, perishable goods that need to be transferred on time. Animals, for example, might also be being transported, as well as you then start running into logistics headaches on the actual airport apron, where a parking bay for an aircraft might have been allocated for a particular time, after which it's allocated to another aircraft for another airline.
Yeah.
So, and you've got all your scheduling. If you think about it, when you go to an airport, if you're having to go through boarding and get on a bus to go to the aircraft, or if there's a ground handler that needs to go and provide catering or refueling, all of those things are scheduled. They all run according to a schedule. And the moment you start mucking around with that, you start compromising the airport's operations, apart from which you compromise the country's and the economy's competitiveness. Because everything today is around reliability and efficiency and your ability to be on time.
Yeah, and it's that domino effect. And to your point, you don't want to be flying into an airport where, you know, you're going to miss connectors, and then suddenly we start losing
yeah.
that economic impact. We'll leave it there. That's Lyndon Burns. He's an aviation expert, MD of aviation consultancy Plane Talking. Appreciate the time.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.